Hello and welcome to the pop. I saw like a bee in the corner and I was like, it's on the outside of my window.
Should that be the name of our show? Should that? Because that's kind of what it also is.
Honestly, full transparency.
Because you're allergic to bees, right?
No, it was like a hornet. Like probably a
hornet,
a cicada
killer.
In your
multi-floor office
on the outside. On the outside.
Oh, it's not
the
room.
No, it was just in the corner. So part of it was like, hornet, close. But then like 51% of it was like, damn, they're going to make fun of me now because I got like a hornet and they got gnats. That's what it really was. That was just pure vanity right there. That was pure vanity.
Okay well,
sorry. Let's try this again. All right, 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to episode number 512 of the Popcast. I'm your host, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The Popcast is a show dedicated to the life of idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things that entertain do not matter.
To find out more about these redundant pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at the Popcast, and we're on Twitter at PopcastPod. But only for 600 tweets, so only
600. Yeah, limited. It's capped.
Limited.
So make sure you get there. Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking pop culture redundancies.
But before we do that, you guys, July is a magical month. It's Knox's wedding anniversary. It's the birthdays of our staffers, Emily and Madison, as well as America, even though she's a situation right now. It's also Lisa Kudrow's birthday. And Lisa Kudrow, who played Phoebe on Friends, turned 60 this month. 60.
Like,
I bet that makes some people feel some kind of way. No matter, July isn't the podcast birthday, but it is only one short month away from now, and we are celebrating 10 years of this delightful idiocy. Since that is a very special birthday, we have a fun, time-sensitive birthday present you can buy for yourself, which is merch. We have an exclusive 10 years t-shirt, an embroidered sweatshirt, and an enamel pin and sticker pack that will only be for pre-sale through this Friday, July 7th. And then that's it. It's immediately upon us. So take a gander at these dope creations at knoxandjamie.com/live. Also, if you're a BFOTS, there's a 20% off coupon waiting for you in Patreon. So if you want to, if you're not a BFOTS and you want to get that coupon, you can join today. So again, head to knoxandjamie.com/live or the link in the show notes and snag your 10 years of the podcast merch.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
All right, Jamie, we are going to talk pop culture redundancies. Before we do that, though, I want to check in with you, which is really a way of checking with me and see how you're doing after coming to terms with what Indy posted for the episode art last week. How long until you realized that was AI and that was not real life?
Listen, well, I knew it immediately because I was there when the picture was taken and I don't own that dress. And so how long did it take you to figure out that it was AI?
Listen, a lot of things happened. I don't remember them. I remember looking and being like, number one, why would I wear that? Number two, why would Ashley let me wear that? Number three, where are my hands? Well, that's normal. My hands are always weird. There was just a lot happening in that picture.
Listen, you talk a lot about how great AI is, but I will tell you the AI struggles are in the hands every time. My hands look like I'm hiding snacks underneath a dress that has no liner, but I have yet no areolas. It's very weird. And then your hands are like kind of squished in a pocket, but like one hand has like seven fingers, which if that's your deal, that's fine. God don't make no junk, but still.
again, I maintain the hands in that picture is the most realistic portrayal of my hands in a picture that I've ever seen before in my life. I want to know, and I want to ask, when will people get to see the Snyder cut of the pictures that really went off the rails?
Oh, they're already up. They're already up right now.
Great.
Yes.
Great.
Yes. So if you go to our Instagram, you can see the ones that Indy did not pick, which are very strange because weirdly at one point, Knox and I platonically adopted a child that looks like Jacob Tremblay. I don't understand it.
It's a lot. So I don't know if that's a redundancy, if that even relates to what we're talking about. But I just wanted to get on the record about that for this week's episode.
Yes.
Well, so in terms of redundancy, why are we talking about this? We always try to create some context behind our conversations. And we thought this was a great opportunity to talk about redundancies because specifically right now, you know, we're always kind of in a period of redundant art in terms of IP and like reboots. But I think particularly right now, we're in an era of consolidation in terms of streamers, in terms of media companies, in terms of the writer strike. That is an example of people who are not feeling great about being redundant versus, you know, another group that wants to make them redundant. And even podcasting, I think podcasting tried to become redundant, but it's kind of been flexed out a little bit. I think it's probably the medium's a little too unformalized to consolidate yet. But it felt like this is a great moment to kind of have a more a larger conversation about redundancy.
No, because I think especially even as summer movies, we're thinking about, did we need another Avatar? Did we need another Indiana Jones, another Transformers, another Enchanted? I mean, like, it's a year where a lot of those movies have not performed as well as anticipated because it's like, no, we want something new. We don't want these redundancies all of the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this doesn't motivate me to get out of the house. And I think, you know, when I was trying to think about this, I was trying to wrap my head around, is it possible that simultaneously this is like the most redundant time in pop culture, but also the most robust time of pop culture? Because like, I don't know what you would say to this, but when I look at TV, books, movies, stuff like that, it doesn't really feel like as much everything's redundant as much as there's too much. Like, I don't have enough time to deal with all of this content happening right now. Would you agree with that?
No, 100%. Particularly like in the world of books, like it feels like every week it's like, did you want to read this generational trauma or this generational trauma set in Utah or this generational trauma set on a fictional island in the Pacific? Like which generational trauma? Or do you want dragons? Or do you want dragons that have sex? Or do you want dragon riders who have sex? Or do you want dragon riders who have sex with their dragons? Like
all of it. And that's not even like the news. Like I don't know what we recorded last week, but y'all were talking about orcas and yachts. No. Like it was a different piece of content.
Oh,
like
I don't know,
Bible Binge or Patreon or whatever. But y'all were talking about orcas and yachts.
Yeah.
And I was like, I participated because I was like, yes, totally. I understand this conversation.
I know you
completely.
Did act like you knew what we were talking about.
But I had no idea what was going on. And now I've educated myself a little bit. And that's just like another piece of content I have to learn about. So it's weird because I feel like it is simultaneously super redundant. But also there's so much happening. So hopefully, you know, in this conversation, we can parse through a little bit what we're talking about. In terms of, we're going to throw the word redundant around a lot. We'll define it here just to help people have a better lens of understanding in this episode. You know, a different type of episode we've done is Stolen Lunch Money. And I think if we don't thread the needle, maybe it can get confusing on the difference between redundancy and stolen lunch money. To understand that, stolen lunch money means that there is a need for this type of thing, role, service, actor, whatever you want to say, but who or what we traditionally associate with it has shifted, okay? Like it's the Chris primacy. Maybe it's Chris Evans, and then it shifts to Chris Hemsworth, and then maybe it like shifts to Chris Messina. Probably wouldn't, but who knows? Maybe could. Now, in terms of pop culture redundancy, it's different because it implies a need for a type of thing, role, service, actor, et cetera, but now it's just not needed anymore. Nothing shifts. It's just not needed in the larger conversation.
Like we can
does that make sense when you hear that?
It does, because we've done this episode before a couple of years ago, and one of the things that you presented was the Isla Fisher, Bryce Dallas Howard, Amy Adams, Jessica Chastain.
That's right.
And you were like, we don't need them. We just need one of them.
Yeah.
And so we got rid of all of them. And then you were like, we just need this actor now. And you created an amalgam of those four women. What was her name?
I'm trying to remember. It was three options. I don't remember which one we chose, but it was Jessla Dallas Adams.
Right.
Brysica Fishdoms.
Right.
Or Amica Dallisher.
It was Amica Dallisher.
All winners, honestly. I really like how it flows off the tongue.
And Amica Dallisher, listen, do we need multiple genders in the world? No, we don't. Of course we don't. Cold Dead Hearts. But like, I like her. I like this super, super ginger who can really take care of business and we don't need all the others, you know?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. So in terms of redundancies, Jamie, would you like to give us some examples of a good and a bad one?
Okay, so a good example would actually be the podcast. Guys, I don't know if you know, but we are a redundancy in many ways. There are plenty of pop culture podcasts that have sad fonts in their logos and pictures of washed up former reality stars and people who can't get acting jobs anymore. So they just recap Will and Grace. And so pop culture podcasts, there are many podcasts hosted by duos, right? By duo men and women, who aren't married and one of them doesn't know as much about the other's extremely private life as the other one, like, sure. Right? Those exist. There are also literal other podcasts called the Popcast. Now, the most famous one is the New York Times has a music podcast called Popcast, right? And then, listen, I found a great batch. Are you ready? Listen. All Caps Popcast, Patterns of Power Popcast, Patriarchy Popcast, Amateur Popcast, Popcast on the Rocks, the Popaganda Popcast, and the Popcast from Matt Koning, the Prince of Peace Pastor.
Okay.
Like, Prince of Peace. So listen, I don't think we need any of those. Even Prince of Peace, my apologies to your church. I don't think we need your church's podcast either.
No, we don't. I don't. Patterns of Power. I love that. That's a good, that's pretty nice. Right. What did you say? Popcast on the Rocks? Doesn't make sense at all, but I love it. I love it.
Right. What about Patriarchy Popcast?
I mean, is it saying let's do a patriarchy or is
no, I think it's like, hey, isn't the patriarchy great? Like, guys,
kind of confusing in the why name. Is patriarchy, clean that up.
Patriarchy getting such bad PR? Because it seems really fun. Come on. Patriarchy, I don't think any of those PR are needed. Obviously, we here at the podcast believe strongly that no other podcasts are needed. You don't need to listen to any others except the Bible Binge. And in short term, don't listen to Scamanda, because guess what? You know what Scamanda didn't have? An editor. That could have been 4 episodes.
Oh,
why,
man.
That,
I just downloaded it. I don't need to listen to it now.
Well, you can listen to it, but then you circle back after episode 2 and ask me, tell me any of the names of anybody in that show, because it is a situation. They tricked us. They tricked us. So
I would like to shout out Lance Bass, though, because he stepped up a little bit and wanted to do the daily podcast. Like he threw his hat in the ring.
And how many days do we think he did it?
Well, not a lot. I saw it.
I want to say it was 11 days.
I'm Googling it I see something on Facebook that has it says 4 people are talking about this right now. Like 4 people in the world are talking about this.
It's probably my dad.
It's not nothing. But then he also has Frosted Tips, which is a good name. I think it's a good name. I think it's
are you kidding? That's an excellent name. Like, it's an
and then name. Just the Lance Bass Show. I think that's less good.
That's it's not as good. So that's a good example of a redundancy where we can stay and everyone else can go. A bad redundancy that I think. At first, I was like, I think we've done away with this. But then I realized, no, it's still there. And it is the bad redundancy of everybody always having a black best friend. Mm. And see, Chris Rock once told us, all my black friends have a bunch of white friends, and all my white friends have only one black friend. So if you're thinking about that, you're like, oh, what are you even talking about? Let me take you on a journey. Dion in Clueless, Bubba in Forrest Gump, Chad and Taylor in High School Musical. I liked that they were like, we'll give both of them black best friends. Turk on Scrubs, Monique on Kim Possible, Frozone in The Incredibles, Luther from Mission Impossible, Sam Wilson in Captain America, Lillian in Bridesmaids. And to be clear, the friend doesn't have to be black. They just can't be white. Okay,
sure.
You can't have a best friend who's white. So, for example, Mindy and Emily in Paris, Ned in Spider-Man, Cece on New Girl, Lane on Gilmore Girls, Christina Yang on Grey's Anatomy. Listen, and I get it because they were like, oh, yeah, there's too many white people. Is there too many white people in Hollywood? Yeah. What if we brought in one person who wasn't white and we made them sassy and fun? And so the good thing is that what we realized was that was a pretty bad redundancy of lazy storytelling, and that white men and women are main characters and everything else is a supporting player, and that's not actually good storytelling. And so I like that we kind of pulled away from that redundancy a little bit. It's still there and it's easy to find, particularly on Netflix. But I am glad that like now it's like, oh, do things happen to Southeast Asians? Oh, okay. Well, let's tell their stories. That sounds fun.
Sure. No, that's a, I feel like that is a good example of lazy storytelling, and certainly, kind of like a casting trope. But yeah, like it's one of those things. And then I think I don't know if the horror genre, was there first on this of like, let's take best friend and kill them first. 100%. I don't know if that happened before the formalizing of the black best friend trope in general, but neither seems great. And I don't know if you alluded to it before we started recording about the blackening, but I feel like it takes on that idea expressly in a clever way. Okay, well, you know, in terms of historical redundancies, because we can see these everywhere that we look. Obviously, we're in a moment that we're having them now. But there's a couple examples I want to talk about where we can really see an interesting iteration of them. The first up is the redundancy of a fourth movie in a trilogy. You know, and I'm not a math guy, so I know that doesn't sound weird. Like trilogy's three, what's the fourth movie? But it's this weird kind of I don't know, not even a phenomenon, because it you completely understand why it occurs. But it's this thing where, you know, like let's say Toy Story, you've got 1, 2, 3, 3 perfectly wraps up the story, moves it on, and then all of a sudden you get Toy Story 4, and there's a guy named Forky. And Bo Peep shows back up, and it's unnecessary. You don't need it. Is it a fine time? Sure. And I think that's the thing with these fourth movies and trilogies. They're not bad times. Like John Wick 4, it's not a bad time.
No, yeah.
It's just, do we need it? No, it's redundant. So I'm thinking like Pirates of the Caribbean 4 on Stranger Tides. That's a fourth movie we don't need. Men in Black with, I had to look this up because I didn't remember this happening. Starring Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth.
Oh yeah.
Do you believe that actually occurred?
I do believe it because I remember thinking, oh, this is magical. This is when I still have my Chris Hemsworth blinders on.
Sure.
That he is a truly amazing Chris who's a great actor. Now yeah. I know, now I'm older now and I'm wiser and I have more evidence to support that is not accurate. And so, and then Tessa Thompson.
We're just zigging and zagging at the same time. I'm now thinking, is he the next like Daniel Day-Lewis possibly after Extraction?
Based on Extraction?
Based on just being, have you seen you those commercials he's done for Australia? Those are
right.
Electric.
They're amazing. You know? Extraction 4. Is that what you want? Is that what you want?
I mean, I'm never going to say no, you know, right. I'm never going to say no to it. But it's one of those things where it's like, if it's Harry Potter, no, you need a bunch of movies. So I'm not mad at the fourth. If it's Mission Impossible, there's no like cap on this. It's the ones where you cap it at 3 and you perfectly punctuate it. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like Jordan hitting the jumper against the Jazz to win his 6th title. And then he shows up a couple of years later and he's in a Wizards uniform and everyone's sad and it doesn't feel good, you know?
That's right.
And Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, that's another example of like, we didn't need to see Indy like evading a nuclear bomb by hiding in a fridge.
We didn't need that. And then because we got the fourth, the problem, you're exactly right, because the problem with the fourth means that we've now creaked open the door to a very unnecessary fifth.
Yeah, now do we do 6? Now, is that what we're into?
Right.
I hope not. You know who's a repeat offender of the fourth movie in the trilogy?
Who is that?
Christian Bale. He was in the Terminator,
whatever. I forgot about that.
I know, I did too. And then he's also in Thor Love and Thunder, which again, I didn't mind it. It didn't bother me, but it is like, why do we need this? You know, what's going on?
You know why they needed it? Because they were like, look, with Thor, the situation was like, they're like, oh, the first two were bad.
Yeah.
So let's just pretend they didn't happen.
Just
so now I think of it as the Taika trilogy. It's
sure.
Like, oh, don't you just pretend the first two didn't exist. They were not real. Just don't.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, so fourth movie's in a trilogy. And then really like actually historical a redundancy is this this idea of the Penny Dreadful, not the show. There was a show by the same name. I think Eva Green. She was in, and I want to say Josh Hartnett was also in it.
Yeah, he was.
For a second, and it was kind of weird. And I wouldn't advise watching that show, maybe. But it's actually referring to, it was like this cheap serialized newspaper pamphlet situation in the 1830s in the UK, and they're usually like 8 to 10, 12, 16 pages, and they were super macabre, violent, gory, provocative. This is actually where we get a character like Sweeney Todd. That story originates here. And these like cheap newspapers, they came into prominence because literacy rates in the UK in the 1830s from the working class began to rise in Victorian Britain. So this was like a stepping stone to reading for entertainment. It's like, think of it as like video games, kind of, because a 20-year-old dock worker who just learned to read wasn't going to pick up like the history of the world by Herodotus or something.
Okay.
They were like, let's see this vampire have sex with a woman. I'll read that probably. I can understand that.
Okay. Am I weirdly into Penny Dreadful now? Like, is that,
I wouldn't hate it, you know? And then in the 1890s, there was some violence and crimes and politicians were like, it's the Penny Dreadfuls doing it. You know, we got to get rid of these. Even though they all secretly agreed later, that was not the reason. So instead, they started promoting like really high-minded newspaper articles, like how to be a leader, how to make tea and drink it cool, or stuff like British stuff. So it's like the first example of Goofus and Gallant situation, you know? Like Goofus would be the Penny Dreadfuls, and Gallant would be like how to be cool, like Winston Churchill. Well, he wasn't there yet.
But is
like,
that what Goofus and Gallant means?
You never read Goofus and Gallant?
No.
You never like. Until this moment, what were you like, what was the deal with Goofus and Gallant?
Listen,
because
I just thought
some people would argue it's in the name. Some people would say it's probably right there.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought it was Goofy's Christian name.
Wow. You thought it was Mr. Goofus and Gallant.
I thought Goofy was a nickname and he's problematic. And yeah. I don't know that. I just thought, oh, so you don't want to be Goofus. You want to be Gallant.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. That, I mean, that's it. The Atlanta
episode. So it's not related to Goofy.
I'm not gonna close the door on that. It might still be. It's not a canon thing I've researched. Aaron, did you mess with Highlights? Were you familiar with Goofus and Gallant, or did you also think it was related to Mickey Mouse?
Love some Highlights. Love some. What's the difference between these two pictures?
I didn't like that. I didn't like the pressure. I just felt like there was a ticking clock, and I had to like match all these unrelated things.
Wait, who had the clock on you?
Life.
You read it like
at expectations. Life had the clock.
Life.
God. Yeah. High expectations. You
did
know.
You ever submit any writing for Highlights?
I did not. I was pure reading at that
Wait,
point.
You mailed in writing
Absolutely.
For Highlights? Were you published in Highlights
no,
magazine?
Never.
No.
I was published. I think I got published in Brio, maybe, at one
Whoa.
Point.
Whoa.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
I don't think it is.
And I am going to find that because I am excited.
I think maybe...
That's cached somewhere. The Wayback Machine will find it for me.
Maybe I wasn't. Maybe I just, maybe I said
What do
I
you
was.
Think you wrote for Brio? It was about purity culture.
It was a poem for sure. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I lied about that. I think told everyone
that I was. You definitely did, Aaron. Definitely don't need
like
to look
you
further
had diabetes
into that.
As a
yeah,
child.
Like when I told everyone I had diabetes, but I didn't.
Okay, good to know.
Yep.
Did y'all ever steal magazines from the doctor's office?
100%.
Never.
I always.
Disgusting.
People? I'm going to leave a people behind? Absolutely yeah. not. Absolutely
I'm
not.
Like, this National
so
Geo
many
is
on it.
Sick.
How does it have a disease? It's the OBGYN.
How old were you stealing
people I steal magazines now.
You're disgusting.
No. I'm going to take that new beauty from the dermatology every time. That magazine's $12.99.
If Jamie is stealing stuff from the grocery store, she's definitely stealing magazines. Because it's not... Oh, it's, but
100%, yeah.
Doctor's offices are kind of international waters. Who does this really belong to? The doctor? Probably not. You know?
No,
so I can take this.
No, exactly. You can take it. Plus, guess what? I paid... No, my insurance isn't covering most of this. Why can't I earn a little magazine? Why can't
this
I take a little
stealing from
me.
The wrong person? That's the insurance company you should be stealing from.
I love that you think doctors are not involved in this sham that's called the American healthcare system.
I love doctors. I think that they're heroes, healthcare heroes.
Gosh.
Erin loves doctors. She's
love
always
doctors.
Said
she
that.
She loves doctors until she gets a bill, and then she's like, what? What? Yeah.
I just think that I do like this idea that we're entitled to the magazines, you know, because who's it hurting? Nobody's there for the magazines, right? No one's there because I go to Dr. Thompson because he's got the sick Us Weeklies. You know, he's got the up-to-date Us Weeklies.
Well, then Aaron does choose a doctor based on the amenities.
No, that's not true.
The dentist.
Oh, that is true.
Thank you.
They treat me like
they gave her a Yeti, and she was like, "Let's go."
They did.
Does feel like dentists. Like it's gotten boutique-y of like, hey, you can do like you can get like a pedicure and your
they
dentist
give
stuff
me,
happening.
They give me a heated blanket. They give me a massage chair
for a cleaning, right? Not for like dental work.
I get the gas for a cleaning. My like the thing they put over my nose for the oxygen and the nitrous is macchiato flavored.
Shut up.
I'm dead serious.
That's what I'm talking about. See, if I
it's amazing. Well,
guess what?
Just
I'm taking
changing.
Every one of those Real Simple and Magnolia magazines from that dentist. I'm taking every one of them.
You know what? They give water to people who need it.
They do. They do. Would you like a nice cold beverage?
Did you just you mean
No, they like they work with people who don't have water.
That is embarrassing.
Hold on, Aaron. I want to back up here because I thought they just offered you something to drink. You're acting like they're rescuing people from like Hurricane
Katrina.
No,
they
Katrina
do. They work with like water rescue missions.
What? For, oh, like in like they build wells or something for other countries.
I'm sorry, Jamie's phone's going off, and that's hilarious because she gets so mad.
Well, because it's calling 911.
Oh, why?
Yeah. Why is it calling 911?
I don't know. I picked it up to make sure it was off.
Are you distressed about this?
Are they?
Do you feel like they're gonna call you back to make sure
there's not a real emergency? Because it's happened to me once whenever I got in that wreck on the way to see you both.
Yeah, it happened to me.
That's right.
This is gonna sound super annoying, and I hate it, but this is the context. I was lifting weights, and like it pressed on my watch too much.
Wow.
I know, so obnoxious. I was doing like a 6 squat set, you know, and then some like Bulgarian in there too.
You were holding 6 pounds? Is that what?
Not six pounds. They call me back, and they're like, "What's up? What are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm just lifting weights. Did you hear? Like, did you hear the news that I'm lifting weights?
Oh, did you feel my cardio? Did you feel my cardio? My cardiac arrest almost happening? Yes.
I just think that for people, like, if you want to steal a magazine, I'm not going to say steal. That's the wrong verbiage.
No,
that's
it's
incorrect
not
verbiage.
Steal. It's take.
It's stealing.
It's take.
It's no, what's stealing. The difference between a doctor's office magazine and the neighborhood, like, take a book, leave a book?
You mean a what's free the library?
Yeah. What's the difference between the
that's
two?
That's the ethos of the library.
That's the ethos of the waiting room.
Absolutely not.
I agree.
You call Dr. Hartman right now.
I'll call him right now. Dr. Hartman,
if they post somewhere in the room, "Hey, please don't take the magazines," I'll honor that. But if they don't, again, international waters, anything goes here.
Listen, Dr. Hartman ain't hurting. He's not like going out there going, "Where's my Magnolia? Like, why can't I find my Joanna?"
Where's my 3-month-old National Geographic? Now.
He's not worried about it.
Here's the move. You go, okay, you read it, and then when they call you back, you roll it up, you stick it in your back pocket, okay?
See,
and then,
you're the deceit that you are outlining right now.
No,
it's proof that you know it's wrong.
It's a problem for a man because you rolling it up in your back pocket. If I see that in your back pocket, I'm like, "Oh, that's he stole that."
No, I'm.
That's what you gotta
no,
put
I'm
in
like,
your bag. You gotta put
no,
it
I'm
in
like,
your bag.
No, I'm like, I'm. You know, I'm carrying all my concerns about my medical situation in my hand, so I'm gonna put this back here.
What are you carrying about?
You know, like, why am I here? If it's Dr. Harmon, my dermatological concerns. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh.
What are you carrying?
Is this freckle cancerous? I don't know. I'm just worried. I just want to keep my hands free so I can gesture my fear. You know, and then. Next thing you know, you walk out in the parking lot and that magazine's still in your back pocket. And you're like, "I'll bring it back in this
That's true.
Time.
I'm not going to bring it back.
No, you have gone through a process of deceit and that indicates that you know
Listen,
it's wrong.
American healthcare, they cannot give me a decently priced service. I'm going to take that Domino magazine. I'm going to take it.
Here's my theory though. I just don't think, I don't think there's anybody in a theater is checking you for candy that you bring from the outside. I don't think any nurse or receptionist is like, "Hey, is that a National Geographic from 3 months ago in your back pocket? I need you to return that right
now."
Yeah,
I don't think they
care. I just don't think that exists. Yeah.
I think this is wrong. I think this is very wrong.
We'll go to the Supreme
Court. I actually don't think you have the balls to do this.
FYI, we'll take it to the Supreme Court. It'll be 6-3 in Knox's favor.
Well, that is true. And I don't think you should be proud of that.
I don't even know what we're talking about, but
that was your second historical redundancy.
Yeah, that was it. That da 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 da.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny and Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They are so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod.
Okay, so that's some baseline on basically Aaron's kind of arrogant, ethical, probably.
Again,
context
again,
or framework.
A woman,
Jamie,
who has literally in this episode lied about writing for Brio.
No, and I remembered that as Jamie, a child, I lied about it in the same way that I lied about having diabetes for attention.
Oh, see, this is interesting because I interpreted that differently. I interpreted that as you actually did write and get published in Brio, but you didn't want us to look it up. Aaron.
No. I think what happened is that I told my peers and colleagues as a child that I had been published in Brio. Nobody read Brio, so that was a passable lie.
I 100% think you're in Brio right now.
Did you do that because you were like, I can't say Reader's Digest because that's more, they'll be able to prove that quicker?
Yes. And listen, I read the crap out of Reader's Digest.
I freaking loved Reader's Digest, man.
Where is Reader? Is it still?
It's called TikTok, Aaron. Okay. Okay, so we've laid that context down. Jamie, do you want to talk about maybe a couple examples of some egregious redundancies that we need to rule on?
Okay, so I would like to present one, and we need to rule on this as a country. Mm-hmm. I will not be accepting medical professionals' opinions on this. Okay, so first up is, I think right now that we have an overabundance and truly the most redundant situation in Hollywood, which is 40-something famous mediocre white men married to famous mediocre white women.
Okay.
And these are pairs that I just don't think we need. And look, I'm going to present to you 7. I will let you keep 1. All right. Each of you be prepared. You can keep 1. First, Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively, mediocre. Orlando Bloom.
Whoa. Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively are both equally mediocre? That's what you're saying?
No, not equally. No.
But they're both shades of mediocrity?
Absolutely. Ryan Reynolds, what is it you love about Ryan Reynolds?
He's so witty and bantery.
Exactly. That's not a skill that he can translate always to other things.
As the owner of several sports teams and probably a gin, I think still a gin company and a phone company, I would say he's translating
okay,
it
so
very
you're
well.
Going to ride this on Mint Mobile. Okay, next, Orlando Bloom and Katy Perry. For sure, mediocre.
Yeah,
Katy Perry was great, not great anymore. Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. Also, people who had moments of greatness. I don't know what Ashton Kutcher's were, but Mila had some moments of greatness, but not Ashton Kutcher. Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel. If I have to watch those two fight while they work out on the internet, I'm gonna poke myself in the eye. Joaquin Phoenix and Rooney Mara. I would say Joaquin Phoenix is only good sometimes. But for the most of the time, he is mediocre. Dax
Joaquin
Shepherd.
Phoenix is Joaquin mediocre? Phoenix. That's what I just heard?
No. The other sentence was, he has moments of greatness, but
sure.
he is often mediocre.
But Jamie,
it is
in
only
this
when
exercise.
Paired with a great director and a great script. That is only when he's good. You look at his IMDb, half of it is no. You go through half his IMDb
okay.
and you're like, that was a mistake. Dax Shepherd and Kristen Bell. Mediocre, 40-something, married to what I would argue is had one really great show and lucked up by being that one Disney character. And
Kristen
then,
Bell, which is the great show for Kristen Bell?
The Good Place.
Not Veronica Mars.
No.
Wow.
Anybody, I'm going to be honest.
You know what?
Anybody could have been Veronica Mars.
Okay, here's the thing. I know you don't believe it. I respect the commitment to the bit because I saw the soul go out of your eyes when you answered.
No.
You knew you had to say no.
I have a long history. I have a long history of being anti-Chris and Annie Bell. Anyone
sure.
that listens to the show can tell you. Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani is my last choice. Listen, mediocre. Gwen Stefani, I've been using that makeup line and that no one can pronounce, and it's mediocre. Okay. Okay. So, and I want to just say congrats to the eighth couple that did not make the cut, which was John Krasinski. And it's because of Emily Blunt. She saved him from this list. So I watched the newest season and the last season of Jack Ryan. And that's maybe you just direct stuff, huh? Maybe you just write stuff and direct
it. I'm looking forward to watching it because I know Michael Pena is in it. And I'm always a full send for Micah Pena. So,
sure.
don't ruin that for me is what I'm saying.
Okay. I will not. Okay. So tell me of those seven, who will you keep? Aaron Knox?
I'm out on, Orlando Bloom and Katy Perry.
Okay. So that was one version of answering the question of you get to keep one.
I know. I'm just,
oh, you're working through it.
She's working them down. She's just, she's slicing
second.
Them down.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm out on them.
Okay,
I'll be out on Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell. I don't think they're as mediocre as you think they are, probably, but I don't think they belong in this list. I will say Dax Shepard is probably an elite podcaster, not an elite actor, though. So
right,
I agree, in
right.
respect.
Okay.
Aaron, you know what this is going to come down to? Do we remember the other ones? That's really what this
you're
is going
exactly
to come down
right.
to.
You're exactly right. You are, because I was just about to ask.
All
her
right,
quick.
Keep or let go. Blake Shelton, Gwen Stefani.
I'm going to let him go.
It's a let go.
Okay.
That's a let go.
Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis.
It's a let go.
I don't know. They do nice things for Ukraine.
Because she's from there. They've never done anything nice for anybody else.
Wow. Have they've never
not?
Done anything nice for anybody else. Can
Look,
you confidently
find somebody
say
send me
also,
some bullet points.
Also,
somebody send me some
I
bullet points.
I really loved it when he made Justin Timberlake cry. So I think.
Oh,
true.
Is that who you're keeping? Interesting.
No, I want to. I do want to let go of Justin and Jessica.
Okay. Yeah. Justin and Jessica. Okay, so that leaves you Ashton Kutcher, Joaquin Phoenix, and Ryan Reynolds. Which of those three will you keep?
I think we should keep Ryan Reynolds, honestly.
I'm with Ryan Reynolds. Do you know what Ryan Reynolds' net worth is as of right now, Jamie?
Feels like it should be a lot.
Probably like $500 million?
$350 million. Do you know what Drew Barrymore's net worth right now is?
Oh, I don't care.
It's just, hugs. I'm just
hugs.
Creating comparison.
Hugs
creating
in
comparison.
Rain being magical. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna stick with Ryan Reynolds, even
I
though
I think Ryan Reynolds.
Y'all can keep him. See, I said you could keep one.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
idea, the I just can't stand for the idea that Joaquin Phoenix is mediocre. Like he's
again,
young
half
Sheldon
his IMDb.
Or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Just,
and listen, I know that some of you listening, probably even Aaron and Knox, there's part of you that's like, but what will we do when we lose all these great 40-something white actors? What will we do? Don't worry. We have Christian Bale, Mahershala Ali, Pedro Pascal, Colin Farrell, Cillian Murphy, Donald Glover, Tom Hardy, Jake Johnson, Oscar Isaac, Chris Pine, Brian Tyree Henry, Ryan Gosling, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Stephen Yeun, Andrew Garfield, Chiwetel Ejiofor, and Adam Driver. We're set.
We're
We got plenty of people who can get the job done. Also, I would argue Dev Patel. Knox, just as a little test, how old do you think Dev Patel is? Dev Patel from Slumdog Millionaire, from Lion. Dev Patel, because he, I was like, can he replace 40-something actors? Maybe. But how old do you both think Dev Patel is?
He's got Selena Gomez face, so I feel like he's older than we think. I think
he's either 89 or 12.
Okay, got it.
I think if you hadn't asked me this question,
right,
and framed it in, it's probably not what I expect. I would have said 32, but because you asked the question, I'm probably going to say 38.
Okay, what would you like to guess, Aaron?
I'm going to go.
She said 89 41. Or 12. She gave
41. She gave, he's 33.
Okay, wow. I just.
Isn't that amazing?
I completely whipped on every aspect of that answer.
Listen to me. Is it amazing? Listen, if you had said to me, listen, it is, because if you had said to me, Dev Patel and John Cho are the same age, I would have been like, yeah, they're the same age. John Cho and Dev Patel are the same age. And literally John Cho could have been Dev Patel's dad his freshman year of college. Like, he could have given birth to
John.
Dev Patel.
How's John Cho?
51.
What?
See, that's exactly. Amazing to me.
That is amazing. That is amazing. I know. Huh. Or mediocre, like Joaquin Phoenix in his 4 Oscar nominations.
That's right.
Who knows?
That's right.
Who can know for sure?
All right. What's your one?
You know, I wanted to. I'll kind of go adjacent to what you're talking about. There's a certain type, certain archetype of actor that I think we need to be done with, and we need to really consolidate. You know, because in this conversation, I don't know that would really get to like the streaming services, but it's obviously a component of this conversation in terms of redundancies, because we have so many streaming options and we are in need of someone to be like, okay, there's 5 of you, figure out how that works.
Listen,
you
know? That is really true, because we had a meeting, Awala and Christiana had a meeting, because we're working on our website so that you can sort our lights by streamer. And Walla had created this long list and Christiana had gone over it. And I was like, oh, these are not separate anymore. These are combined.
Yeah.
This doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And they were like, wow. Like they didn't realize like how many of these things were. Because they were like Showtime. I'm like, no, it's with Paramount now.
Yeah.
Like, it's all one.
Doesn't
like,
exist. Crunchyroll, yeah. Crackle, and Peacock are all together. That's not true.
They're all the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Peacock Roll.
It's
or something.
Peacock Roll.
That's kind of a component of what we're talking about. But I don't think anyone wants to hear us break down that. But in terms of an adjacent idea to that is the nerdy, goober, geek, goofball actor archetype. You know,
okay.
we got too many. We're flush. Okay. We got to thin the herd a little bit. All right. So I'll do a similar. I've got 4 categories of ones I think that we need. And then I need y'all to pick from this list of populating those categories. Okay.
Okay.
So we got Chris O'Dowd. We got Michael Cera, Justin Long. Okay.
Are those the same people? I mean, I would have to like have proof of life to know that, listen, we do not need Justin Long. I don't care which blonde he is married to. We do not need Justin.
We don't. And I know he's a part of Wondery, and I know they spend so much more time promoting his podcast, and I know they love him, and I know we belong to the same company, but it doesn't feel like it because we're like the, in a lot of ways, Justin Long feels like the Dudley Dursley of Wondery, because, and we're like the Harry Potter in the little bedroom under the stairs.
Why do they put us under the stairs?
And they're just screaming at us to return emails or do it make good. And Justin Long, meanwhile, is just living the good life.
See, and I got to keep Michael Cera because he's in the new Barbie. Like, I got to keep him.
Sure.
Like, I feel like he's going to shine in that. And
He's a good one. You've also got Mr. Bean. We got to talk about him. He is in this group. Okay. Do we need Mr. Bean? I don't know.
We need any British nerds at all. So Chris O'Dowd, gone.
Brain Mr. Bean from gone. Pinky and the Brain. Do we need him? I don't know. I don't know for sure. David Tennant.
I don't know that we, wait, is the brain the, which one's the brain and which one's the rat? Which one's, is Pinky the rat? Which one's the rat?
Well, are they both rats? I guess
they're both rats.
Oh, which one's the smart rat? The brain.
The brain.
Who do
so
you think?
So Pinky's got to go.
Wouldn't it be crazy, though, if Pinky was the smart one?
I don't know. I just like the really suave, like, he's very condescending, and I like that in a weird way. Like,
he's got Stewie. He's got Stewie energy. Stewie.
Yeah,
perfect,
he has Stewie. And I'm into Stewie, too. Not sexually, but otherwise.
Well,
otherwise.
Your body, your choice, you know.
Right.
Thank you. David Tennant, David Schwimmer. Do we need both of those Davids? I don't know.
Oh, we keep David Tennant every time.
I know, but like he's the fetch of he's an action guy. He's a villain. Oh, he's so intimidating.
What's the great thing that David Schwimmer has done besides Friends or OJ?
I mean, look, you're putting me in the position of defending David Schwimmer. I'm not. I'm just saying.
Like, you put me defending Joaquin Phoenix. I can't defend
no,
him.
No, you brought Joaquin Phoenix up. I wanted to have a conversation, and you refused to have the conversation about him and his many Oscar wins, and also avid defense of the cows and the slaughterhouses. Jim Parsons, McLovin, Johnny Galecki, Jesse Eisenberg, Andrew Garfield, Dana Radcliffe, Simon Pegg. These okay, are all wait. Nerdy actors. We don't
they
know.
Are nerdy, but I feel like Andrew Garfield, because of his red carpet this year, his red carpet work and his chicken shop situation, uh-huh. I feel like he has moved back into, are we into Andrew Garfield? Like, is he hot? Whereas I don't think anyone looks at McLovin and goes, is he hot? No, like
okay,
they don't.
Okay, so okay, this will be good. So I've got, of that list, I've got four categories. I need y'all to tell me the apex predator nerd, okay? The one who's like, it's him first. He's the first call.
If Michael Cera.
Anyone's got the nerd role, he's the one the phone lights up for first.
It's always Michael Cera, yes.
We've got hot nerd, we've got accent nerd, and then we've got legacy nerd, okay?
Accent nerd is David Tennant.
Okay. Wow. I hate hot that, nerd. But it's your choice.
A hot nerd, I will let it be Andrew Garfield.
That's why.
Please
what
remember
I like
that Andrew Garfield was mean to Batkid. Please remember.
Was he really?
Yes, he was hateful.
Because he was Spider-Man.
And
he was like, stop being into Batman. Be into Spider-Man.
No, he was mean to Bat-Kid who had cancer.
It's Bat-Kid.
No.
Wow.
It worked out.
Wow.
Please remember, he shunned Bat-Kid who had cancer at the Oscars.
Hey, Jason, in the edit.
You lied about writing for Brio. We're not going to let this define you your whole
Absolutely
life.
Absolutely not.
I don't know that I'll ever get over the hope in Jamie's voice when she said, there was so much hope in that. And I feel like I just took a second fall from innocence.
Is the legacy nerd, is it Anthony Michael Hall? Does that feel like the right legacy?
Or is it
somebody younger like at Andy Samberg?
If our average listener was older, I would allow that, but I don't think anyone knows who that is. So we can't
Neil Patrick Harris. He could be a legacy nerd.
Is he? Yeah. I think
he's not a nerd anymore, but I think he could be a nerd if given the right circumstances.
He's musical nerd, but also secretly people probably don't like him nerd because I feel like no one likes Neil Patrick Harris.
Why do they not?
I feel like he sucks.
Is it because of the twins?
Musicals.
Oh, it's the musicals.
I think it's musicals. And like we saw like a third of his sack in Gone Girl and people were like, I just will never recover from that. You know, spoiler for Gone
Rick
Girl.
Rick Moranis is the legacy nerd.
He doesn't work anymore.
I know, but that's why he's a legacy. You know, Josh Gad tried to get a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids off the, like a sequel with Rick Moranis. Moranis had agreed to it and Disney didn't have any money. They're like, ugh, we're so tight right now on our budget. Sorry.
And then they got punched him in New York and they're like, ugh, bad timing for this, you know?
Yeah, true.
Okay.
Or Alfonso Ribeiro. Love him too. Is that his name? Ribeiro?
Ribeiro.
Is
he a nerd?
Ribeiro.
I don't know that he's a nerd. I think he's a cool guy.
Well, when he did that dance.
The Carlton dance?
When he did that dance?
Yeah, but he owes Saya V now. He's a cool guy. You know, that's cool stuff.
Okay. Got it.
I had Jesse Eisenberg as apex predator nerd. He's like the T-Rex of nerds, I believe.
To me, the apex predator nerd is the person who can't be anything but a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
So I do, but see, like Michael Cera, you'd pick Jesse Eisenberg over Michael Cera.
Yeah, I think I feel good about that, too. I feel really good about that.
I just trust Greta Gerwig, and she chose Michael, and so I will choose Michael.
Aaron, have you seen Now You See Me and Now You See Me Too? You feel like someone who has seen Now You See Me.
What?
It does feel like she would have seen it.
Like 100%. Like, and maybe, honestly, maybe she's seen Now You See Me Too only, not Now You See Me.
That's right.
It's like Ocean's 11, but if they're magicians. End of pitch.
No. I have not seen it.
Who's the pro guy? Is it Mark Ruffalo? No. Is that right?
Mark Ruffalo's in there. Oh, yeah. Isla
is
Fisher.
Is the one where you can see his pee-pee?
Wow. Which one?
Is that what you think the Now You See Me is?
No, in the cut.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I thought you were saying Naya See Me.
No.
What's Now You See Me?
Did I sound like I said that? Maybe I did.
No,
maybe
said,
I did.
No, Now You See Me. It's a movie. He said it. It's a movie if it was Ocean's 11, but it's magicians.
Yeah. Which again, I look.
I actually think I have seen this.
I love Now You See Me, or Now You See Me.
Weirdly like it.
You're not enunciating. It sounds like
I know. I heard it the first time, and that's my fault.
Do you think Jesse Eisenberg in Now You See Me and Now You See Me Too, he is not trying to play a nerd? Is he trying to play a nerd?
No, he's not. But he is a nerd. Like he can't get outside of his nerdness. Like in Fleischman, you're in trouble. The most unrealistic part is all the sex he has because I'm like, this is a nerdy guy.
What about the new Apex Predator being Evan Peters? What about that?
Oh, he's too cool. I think he's too cool. Maybe he's too cool guy. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe
I don't know. We'll leave it open-ended. Okay, conversation. Got it.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the Brushed Rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/popcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/popcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/popcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/popcast.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Okay, my next one in terms of an egregious redundancy, and I do think we do have to make a call as a not only as a company, but as a country, right? And that is, I think we have too many salad dressings. Listen, the redundancies is a situation. Let's walk through it.
Okay.
So I went to Publix and I counted how many different salad dressings were on at my Publix grocery store. And it was 306. There were 306 salad dressings there. Now, there might have been like 10 Caesars, but still. Now, here's how I'm going to suggest we cut it, right?
Uh-huh.
First of all, I think we need to cut all the dressings that present as if they were made by a person in their kitchen.
Okay.
And that we should think of as a friend. So first name basis. So we're getting rid of Ken, Annie, Brianna, Marie, and Paul Newman.
Okay.
We're getting rid of them.
As long as you don't say Tessa May here, we will not have a problem.
No, yeah, we're okay. And then we're going to cut all the dressings with brand names that make me uncomfortable.
Okay.
Okay. Hidden Valley Ranch.
Yeah.
That's a sex cult. Aaron, would you be in a Hidden Valley Ranch cult?
I think I'd be into it.
What are the snacks like? I just want to know some.
What if it was a sex cult?
No,
out of the gate.
No. I don't want to do that.
No. Okay. I'm also going to get rid of brand name Wishbone, because that's the nickname of a 14-year-old who's named Jacob, and I don't like that. Wishbone makes me uncomfortable. Walden Farms, that's where dogs are sent to die. And then the worst is Primal Kitchen. I just want to, for all of you who have Primal Kitchen in your house, just go to your pantry, pull out that bottle, and notice that that is a person in the logo mid-flight about to kill a prey with a spear. And ask yourself, why am I eating this dressing?
Have you ever tried Primal Kitchen dressing?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Because that's it's all plant based.
The defense and rests, Your Honor. The defense rests his case.
You know why? Because I'm not eating chicken out of a bag and hoping it's a little bit better by putting a little bit of this soy based Caesar dressing on it. What I'm trying to do is like, I want a cream based, and I mean an actual cream, or I want an oil based. I think we need an oil based and a cream based. So I will let us keep Bolt House Farms and Marzetti's and the person you mentioned earlier that I had not heard of.
Tessa May.
It was
Tessa May.
But you have to decide what your oil base that you're going to keep and what your cream base.
Aaron, she says oil based, she's saying oil based. That's what she means.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Oil based and cream based. I'm keeping Caesar because I'm just always going to keep Caesar. And I am going to keep balsamic. I want a balsamic with some sort of, you know, I want to put that on my.
No, for audio, a lot of hand gestures, a lot of like molesting hand gestures.
Like I like a straw. I like a berry balsamic. That's my preference. Is a berry.
You tried that garlic expressions yet?
From who?
At any local grocer.
Is that the title? Expressions.
Garlic expressions.
I don't like the name.
Every dressing.
I hate the name.
No, it's
to
just
be honest.
One single solitary dressing.
What type of dressing is it?
Garlic expression.
Is it a balsamic or is it an oil based or a cream based?
It is a garlic expression.
I like that no matter what I ask you, you just answer with the
That's
name.
Right. That's right.
Because truthfully, you don't know if it's oil based or cream based.
I think it's oil based.
Okay. So what would you keep? Would you keep a ranch? Would you keep a Thousand Island, a blue cheese?
Has a ship sailed on Thousand Island? Are we done with Thousand Island? Is that like a vestige?
I love y'all ever had Dorothy Lynch?
No.
Does she make a Thousand Island?
Uh-huh.
Listen, when I see Thousand Island as an option, I do get it because I don't think about it ever until I'm out and they're like, we have Thousand Island. I'm like, yeah.
What's the elevator pitch for Thousand Island? Like, how are you convincing me on Thousand Island?
Listen, I don't know what it is. It's that color that does not occur in nature.
Okay,
not really.
Good.
I like a nice coral dressing that's very thick and it's almost like a spread. Why is Thousand Island so thick?
So a thick, unnatural looking dressing with your salad, ma'am?
Yeah, listen.
Is that cream based or oil based?
That's cream based. How dare you? It's made with ketchup and mayonnaise.
Ew, no, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Gross. It can't be made with ketchup. That's disgusting.
How do you think it's that color? What do you think makes it that color?
That's not true.
Here's the thing. I do. I think.
Not you feel like a ranch person, to be honest.
First of all, don't. Secondly, I think I'm more offended when people spoil the ingredients in something when they're like, Chick-fil-A sauce is just this and this. And then like I'm utterly unmoored.
But
then when you tell me what happened at the end of like the Bear season 2, I'm like, okay, that sucks, but I'm going to get over that.
Listen, I didn't spoil Thousand Island. Everyone but Aaron knows that it has ketchup in it.
Oh, no. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying that's a very very personal thing that you just attacked for her. You know,
listen, I do love a ginger dressing, but I will still stick with my Caesar. What you keeping, Knox? You keeping a ranch? You keeping a blue cheese, a honey mustard?
I'm a spicy ranch guy through and through. Can I also save Italian dressing because I like to listen to old people call it Italian dressing.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Can I have an Italian for my antipasto?
Yep. Yeah, feels a little like problematic, that. But I don't want to push because it doesn't feel like
don't
the right time.
Push.
You
don't
know?
Push. Okay, good. We did it. We did it, you guys.
I'm going to do my last one that I feel like we have to figure out some redundancy situations here is fast food. I'm going to need y'all's help here because we have three categories. We have fast food chicken, fast food burgers, fast food sandwiches. And we got too many. We just have way too many. Okay. So with burgers, we have McDonald's, we have BK, we have Sonic, we have Wendy's, Cookout, Hardee's, DQ, White Castle, Crystal, Steak and Shake, Freddy's, Whataburger, Five Guys, In-N-Out, Shake Shack, Culver's.
For the burger place, can I combine two? Because I want the breakfast of one and I want the burgers from another.
Okay. What are you thinking here?
I'm like a Hardee's.
Okay.
I want a Hardee's breakfast.
I agree with this.
I can't ever give up a fast sausage biscuit.
Yep.
And then I would like to keep, I want to keep the Wendy's. Is that weird?
That's weird. That's weird, man.
I know it's weird, but I love that spot. You know why? It's because I can't think of the burger. What is the best burger? Because it's not McDonald's. They don't have the best.
Is it?
Yes. Now what you're saying, I think the Baconator. Is the supreme burger out of all this, you know?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I don't think you think McDonald's, because what's the best burger, Aaron, at McDonald's?
QPC.
A Big Mac?
QPC.
QPC.
Quarter pounder with cheese.
Yeah.
Quarter pounder with cheese. Well, I mean, you're right. I do love that sesame bun.
Mm-hmm. And the way they chop up the onions, yeah, all little.
All tiny. You're mm-hmm. right.
It's so Aaron, good. I love that you believe that they individually chop up those onions still. I don't want to.
I had one yesterday.
I don't want to ruin anything about this life for you. You're wonderful, innocent okay. thing.
Look, I'm going to come on. I'm standing by it. I'm combining a Hardee's and a Wendy's. That's what okay. I want. Because Wendy's doesn't have a good breakfast. But Wendy's, look, them fries got the skin on them, too. I'm here for that. Okay. What would you keep? What would you keep, Knox?
I think like I'm. The burgers. I'm keeping McDonald's just because. Yeah. I'm also going to keep Shake Shack.
Shake Shack is so overrated.
I'm going to keep Freddy's. I love those three. Those are
oh, I do love Freddy's. Favorite. Custard. I like the custard from Freddy's.
I don't understand. But, I don't understand the custard hive. I've been surrounded by some people who go on and on about custards. And I don't understand what the deal with custard is. It's just like.
And cheese curds. I feel like they're the same people.
Well, Culver's, we tried cheese curds at Culver's. That was the last meal we had before the pandemic, which was disappointing, I'll be honest with you.
Wow.
But I did like the cheese curds. The cheese curds were delicious.
Yeah, I just I don't care about custards or curds. You know, get the stuff out of here. I don't need it. Five Guys can go. We don't need you anymore. Yeah, Cookout's burger sucks, but I love their menu. I love that you can get 16 pounds of food for $3. That's great. I love it. You know,
God, but you're going to be in that drive thru for 7 days because there's no way out.
Ours is
fast.
Ours is very efficient. It's very good.
Okay, Chicken, we've talked about this. We actually talked about this in the previous redundancies. That's right. We're going to get into a huge fight because I have explained to you many times that KFC now has nuggets.
Yeah.
That is the difference in what it's
that's happened. The game changer here.
However, I would argue the KFC nuggets are not good. They are not the best nuggets. I am a nugget professional.
Okay.
And I think McDonald's and Chick-fil-A have the best chicken nuggets.
I agree with that.
And it's just a mood. It's not, I don't even think you can compare and contrast them, you know? And
well, it's about the ratio of friedness to the meat, you know? And some of these mess it up. So it's Zaxby's, Chick-fil-A, Popeyes, Guthrie's, KFC, Raising Cane's, Church's, Miss Winner's, Bojangles.
See, I think Raising Cane's and Zaxby's have the best chicken fingers.
I agree. And
like
sauce.
Right? Yep. And sauce. And then, but as far as chicken, if you want chicken on a bun, I just don't think KFC, I think KFC belongs in a meat and three situation, not just a chicken situation.
Okay. Okay. So but they do have popcorn chicken, Jamie. They do have the popcorn chicken. So you got to
consider
that.
You know, the best popcorn chicken is Sonic. We've been over this.
Yeah.
Sonic.
Yeah, it's true. Popeyes, not Popeyes. Who was it? Who has the pop?
Churches?
It must be Churches. Yeah. So, okay. So if you pick three of those, three out of that group, what are you
all the chickens? Mm-hmm. I'm keeping KFC. I'm keeping Chick-fil-A. And I think I'm keeping Raising Cane's.
Wow. Yeah. That's a pander pick because people get mad if we don't. So we have to do that to maintain listenership.
That is true. They do get really, listen, the Raising Cane's lobby is unlike any lobby. Like, listen, there are more people will fight for Raising Cane's more than they will for the civil rights of human beings. Like, I'm telling you,
it's true.
Very strange.
It's true.
What was the third category of fast food?
Sandwiches. So we've got Subway, Jimmy John's, Jersey Mike's, Quiznos, Schlotzky's Firehouse, Jason's Deli, Panera, and Witch.
God, I love Panera sandwich. Like, and when there's no Panera near me.
There's not
Turkey Bravo?
There's no
Panera. No, it's very maddening.
The BTV,
it's very maddening.
Yeah.
But I will say it's Jimmy John's. It's that bread.
You know what I do at Panera? I'd say, can I have a bacon turkey Bravo? And can I, instead of chips, can I get two baguettes? And
two
I just
baguettes?
Stare at them when I get to the window. I make full eye contact. I don't
And
care.
I eat a pre-baguette, eat the sandwich, then eat a post-baguette. It's dessert and appetizer.
That's right. They're like, sir, would you like to go to the restroom at any point in the next week? And I'm like, I don't care if I do
I
or
might
not.
Find a Panera today. I might just drive out into the boonies.
You should.
Hoover.
You should. So if you only pick three, Aaron, like of these, I feel like you're a fast food sandwich person, like enthusiast.
That's right, I am. That's right.
Jersey Mike's, Quiznos, Schlotzky's Firehouse, Jason's, Panera.
Panera is hospital food.
Okay.
You should both be ashamed of yourself.
That's
you
good.
Now, absolutely. Listen, the drink situation is dark at Panera.
Yeah.
Like, to have so many drink options and none of them are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really, really bad. I'm a Witch person.
Oh.
I love
I will fight to the death over Witch because the simple
Witch
innovation
really
of
good.
Instead of bad chips, would you like French fries?
Would you like French fries? Yeah. Thank you. Finally, someone.
And would you like to place
to
your order
heart.
Without speaking to another person? Oh, I love
yes,
that.
Yes, I would. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. It's a witch all for me. No,
okay.
No questions.
I'm witch and Jimmy John's all the way. I don't have a third
Firehouse is good. I like a Jimmy John's too. That's always a
although
great
Jimmy
option.
John's is constantly trying to push mayo on you.
Okay.
I don't like that. Like, if you ask for mustard, they're like, no.
We won't do that.
And here's one packet.
Yeah.
Here's one packet that has been in here since 2018.
Yep.
Enjoy your. I like mustard on a sandwich.
They do like they do that at Kickin' Ranch though, and don't sleep on that Kickin' Ranch. It's
you know
good.
I worked at Jason's Deli when I was in high school and had
really or you just told people?
Wow. No, I really did.
Oh, okay,
got I it. Had a traumatic incident with a like economy size Costco mustard, and so I've never
it
really
ruined
been
you
comfortable
on mustard.
With mustard ever since. Yeah. So
okay,
it's
that means it got
texture.
In her crack. That's what she made.
That's exactly right.
All right, so Jamie, what's the third one? Jimmy John's, which? Give me your third one.
God, it's not. It's Panera. I stand by Panera.
Okay, I'm gonna ignore that. I'm gonna go with Quiznos because of those Quiznos subs commercials. Jason Waterfalls and I used to eat there all the time in between video game breaks
when
they
had
like
the last time you ate at Quiznos. It was like you go fight for Quiznos. It's been 8 years since you ate at Quiznos.
There used to be one 3 years ago that was still here in town, but it closed down. But you remember it was like the two little rodents, like the they would sing the
yes.
song. They got a bibba exactly. bar like that.
Why
one.
Why would we buy sandwiches from a rodent? Superstar, we wouldn't do that.
You know what though? I kind of trust them. If they lean into it that far, I trust them. I think they know what's up. Okay, that is our conversation on redundancies and pop culture. If your thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. knoxjamie.com/512. All right, Jamie, you gonna do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right, what is your red light this week?
Okay, so my red light this week, I have a tiny baby red light. Just as a tip, I find the Supreme Court's really making it hard for us Christians to feign persecution. We have a shtick and you're ruining it. And then also, I want to red light myself because I do not know how to receive a gift well or like a generous spirit. I had a dear friend come. She brought a bunch of books from her work and she was like, hey, I have a bunch of books. Would you like these? And this is how I literally went through them. First book, no, this author was mean to Knox once at Nest Fest.
Yeah, I saw you tweet about this. I don't remember this. Who was mean?
Yeah,
who?
It was somebody who said, why is he in this group picture? And I heard them. And I turned to her and I said, because he's an author and we were invited here by Mike Willen.
She might have just been like, his hands are weird. Why is he here? And
no,
I was just like, that's
fair.
She's
mean to a lot of people. A lot of people don't like her. Anyway, number two book, I took it and I said, no, this author thinks the Enneagram is the work of demons and that she has said Beyonce is a literal witch.
A literal witch. That's just
literal. Like
no
she's
one's
like
a literal
witchcraft.
Witch. That's just
again, if anybody's a witch, it's Taylor. She's the one in the hooded cloak with the orbs. Okay. And then finally she showed me a book and I said, no, I was featured on this author's subreddit last month for talking vaguely about them in The More You Know. So I did not like this book either. So I did take a Bible study book, but I had to turn down a bunch of books. And I feel about it. I look back on that and I go, I should have just taken the books.
Yeah.
But then what would I have done with them? I'm not going to leave them in my house.
Just be like
yeah, I read books by the person who
go
thinks
take, you
Enneagram.
Know what? I'll fix it right now. Take it to your local neighborhood. Take a book, leave a book, or go leave them at your doctor's office. Replenish.
Do you when you go to a free library, do you always bring a book in order to take a book?
No, I don't go to free. I don't go to like neighborhood libraries. I'm just like, you're trying to get rid of Rachel Hall's books. That's not what I'm here for. But I'm like, I do like the idea.
Child.
Aaron, can I like float this by you? If you're going to not steal, but just borrow magazines from the doctor's office, but you bring a book to leave in its stead, is that okay?
Yeah, I think that's okay.
Okay. Yeah. See, there we go. We fixed
so you
that.
You just bring your garbage books. You just bring your South Beach. So if I brought a South Beach Diet book and left it,
no,
I could take
no.
a real symbol.
It's got to be something like kind of good.
Kind of good.
Something historical. Maybe some book with some charts you can pull out and like look at while you're waiting.
Ooh, that'd be kind of fun.
Game changer. Game
what if somebody
changer.
Wants to take that book since they can't read it the whole thing?
It's okay.
Okay.
What do they have to do to take
the book?
They
got to bring something else.
Exactly. Let's merge these things, you guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're all at the doctor's office. We're never walking around neighborhoods. That's dumb. So let's put these things together.
Okay, what's your red light?
My red light is The Bear Season 2 for being over, just for being done, because that was the greatest experience of my life.
Wasn't it amazing?
It's so good. I do really wish they had not dropped it all at once. I would have rather. Give me two and then parcel it out one a week. And I think... It's not that I would have the ability to control myself. I would have been really interested in all of the conversation and discourse around the season, because I feel like when you just drop it in bulk, some of the nuances and some of the conversations get subverted, because you're just like, there were some conversations where I couldn't listen to that or couldn't read that because I hadn't gotten far enough in, you know, the series or whatever. And it was just so worthy of scrutiny and conversation and of analysis. And I know you greenlit it, I guess, a week or two ago. But it's so worth everyone watching. Even if you haven't watched season one, go watch it, catch up so you can see season two. Some of the storytelling they're doing is incredible. But I'll also red light, there's a particular kind of discourse happening around a central relationship in the show and people wanting it to be romantic. And I want to red light that because I think that is a dumb chungus brain thing to ask for, and just let it be a cool story. Don't need everything to be like Nick and quirky Zoe on New Girl. It can just be what it is, you know.
I know, but it feels like they're doing it on purpose. Like the showrunners are doing it on purpose, because there are certain scenes where I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing here. I don't know how I feel about it. I will say, I got a text from, because, you know, I talked about in my green light that the episode 7 was transformative in every way. And that you're right. There, you can't talk about it online because I don't want to spoil it for anybody. Yeah, I don't want to talk about anything. But I will say, a friend of the show, Sophie Hudson, she texted me after she watched episode 7. And she said, I'm watching episode 7 of season 2. And I plan to rededicate my life to Jesus after it's done.
Listen, the 6-7 back-to-back is hyper elite. I think in a lot of ways, this is going to feel rude, and I don't mean it to be rude. This show is doing what Ted Lasso wanted to do but couldn't pull off. The Bear's actually doing it. Of being hopeful and uplifting without cheapness, but also like having some storytelling stakes going on. It's just so good. So very, very good. So
it's an excellent show, yes.
Okay, what is your green light this week?
Okay, my green light this week is movies in movie theaters, because I have been going to the movie theater every 3 or 4 days, partially for work. I finally updated my Letterbox, which is kind of the Goodreads of movies, and I've seen 43 movies this year, and the number one film on my list is my first green light, which is the movie Past Lives. Past Lives is this romantic drama film. It was written and directed by Celine Song. This is her feature directorial debut. It stars Greta Lee, who, please let her get nominated for an Oscar, because what she is doing in this movie is so magical. And it follows this reunion between two childhood friends as they contemplate their relationship and their own lives. So they grew up, they were in elementary school together, and they moved across the world. And then they catch up. And y'all, this, I saw it at Sundance, and then I watched it in the movie theater last week. This is A24. A24 at the height of its powers. It is 97% on Rotten Tomatoes with 155 reviewers. It is my favorite movie of 2023. It is this really stunning romance that has a wholly unique approach to telling the story of romance. This is your date night movie. This is your movie to go see by yourself and get your icy and your popcorn. You're going to love it. Then my second go to the movies and watch a movie is a movie I saw last night, which is Joyride. Joyride comes out this week. They never do pre-screenings in Birmingham because they're the worst, but they did. Y'all, if you were like, I want a funny, because like Knox, he greenlit No Hard Feelings. This feels like a very summer of comedies, The Blackening, lots of comedies on the way in July and August. Listen, this movie, I have not laughed this hard in so long. Now, apologies to the family that came to this movie having, I guess, not looked up anything about it, because they had to leave within the first 10 minutes, because this is raunchy AF, y'all.
What kind of family situation are you talking about? Like,
it was a mom and dad with 3 kids, and they look like, I'm not good with kids' ages, so they could have been 4 or 13.
Love it. Yeah.
But somewhere in between there. Like, one kid could not carry their own popcorn.
Wow.
That's how little they were.
Okay, that's little.
And listen, this film stars Ashley Park, Stephanie Hsu, Sherry Cola, Sabrina Wu in the role of Deadeye doing, it could have been one note. It's not. It's amazing. The story is about childhood best friends Audrey and Lolo, who are going to go with Audrey's former roommate Kat, who is a Chinese film star, and Lolo's cousin Deadeye, and they're on a journey across China to find Audrey's birth mother. Listen, Ashley Park is a star. Like, she's being wasted on Emily in Paris. Like, she is a star. And then we already know Stephanie Hsu, we have loved forever. And this movie is so funny. It is as if Bridesmaids and Hangover and Girls Trip had a baby, and you are going to laugh so hard. But let me be clear, super raunchy, like crazy, like very dirty, but like in the best way. This movie, when I last looked, was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And so it comes out this week. So I highly recommend going with your girlfriends, going on a date night, again, going by yourself with your icy and your popcorn. You will have the best
time. Just don't go with your 3 kids. Just don't do that.
Do not take your children. Like, for sure, don't take your children. And if you've adopted from a different country, Make sure that you've done the therapy before going to see this movie about that. So just a trigger warning. Heads up.
So my green light this week, I've got two. I'll go ahead. I'll green light Clytemnestra. But this is by Costanza Casati. And this is, I think I read The Song of Achilles a couple years ago. Same vibe. You know, it's a not a modern retelling, but it's a retelling of a Greek myth. But it tells the story of Clytemnestra, who is from Sparta. And a lot of hijinks ensue. None of them fun. She ends up as the wife of Agamemnon. And it's the story of like what happens to her kids, how she endures and survives, what happens during the Trojan War. And it's an interesting take on like the Trojan War, but we're never at the Trojan War. We're just seeing what happens like in the void and the absence of everything because of the Trojan War. You get all of the Greek characters like the Odysseus, the Penelope that maybe you've like studied in the classics, but to see them show up in like a novel is really fun and exciting. I listened to the audiobook version. Really loved it. It was well performed. I think it's like 15 hours, but I blew through it pretty quickly. So I'd highly recommend Clytemnestra. And then my other green light of this week is Aurora by David Kep, I think is his name. And this was, I don't know how I came across this, but Aurora is, it's the story of these characters, well, some characters in Aurora, Illinois, and there's a solar storm that knocks out the power of basically the entire world, and it initiates the apocalypse, and it's how all these characters have to deal with the apocalypse. So it's, I think sometimes when you get apocalypse adjacent, the story can get a little like overly serious or overly like the real villains or like the humans, you know. This isn't that. It's really it really focuses on the primary relationships of each of the characters that they lay out kind of at the beginning of the story, which most fiction stories do. I don't know if you guys knew that. They lay out the character stories. But it's kind of gentle. It's kind of funny. This is not like overly serious and this is not prestige literature, but it's, I really fell in love with the premise. And along the way, I really got interested and invested in all the character storylines and how they went about telling it and kind of merging or unmerging the stories. And I did see that it is, I don't know the status on this, but Catherine Bigelow is supposed to adapt it into a movie. I don't know if it's on Netflix or somewhere else.
I am so excited.
Yeah, and I think the storytelling lends itself to it being a really compelling feature or some kind of movie. So I highly recommend. If you want, like I listened to an audiobook, blew through it in like a day and a half, I think. So if you want a really compelling kind of propulsive story, easy premise, decent character interactions, I think you'll really enjoy Aurora by David Kep.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
All right, that's gonna do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember anytime you do any shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcastfirst so that you purchase your affiliate link. Your favorite item purchased using that link this week was, Jamie, this is a Loma Linda plant-based Big Franks.
Okay, so these are hot dogs that are vegetarian, so you can get a 12 pack for $72.
That's very expensive.
That's very expensive. And so these are made, this is my favorite, I read the ingredients and they're made from textured vegetable protein, corn oil, water, and torula yeast. Now here's the problem, Michelle Hardy gave it 1 star because it actually has like a high, like 4.4 stars, thousands of ratings. But Michelle did not like it. She wrote, I'm not happy that it's listed as plant-based.
Wow.
And this is what Michelle had to say. Plant-based is for people who don't want to use animal products for health or environment. If it's not vegan, it's not plant-based. If they ever find a plant-based milk, you'll be onto something. Michelle, I hate to break it to you. There's 18,000 plant-based.
They cracked that code, okay? Michelle.
They cracked that code. And then she said, because I saw plant-based, I bought nearly $80 worth it knowing we liked it. Then I was devastated when I saw it was taken from animals. It's not.
Wow.
It's not. Leave them alone already. And going hard. I know it's in the ingredients, but they're in fine print, which hurts to read. I'm old. I honestly feel like y'all don't know the difference between plant-based and vegetarian. And you're trying to interfere with my ethics. And that hurts.
Michelle saying that she's old was the most redundant part of that review. You know, we got it.
All right, you guys, don't forget that Friday, July 7th is the absolute last day, no exceptions, for you to be able to order 10 years of podcast merch. You can go to knoxandjamie.com/live or go to the link in the show notes and snag you a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, a pen pack, or all three. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.